This is the Tom Likas Show.
Coke, weed, booze, lose, and speed.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
I like being a cartoon.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24/7 at blowmeuptom.com. Our podcast is available on demand at premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. We are 1 hour away from Be Funny. Be Funny, as you know, unless Ask the Mexican surpasses it, but it's only on once a month. Be Funny is the most popular feature we do. Every time we do Be Funny, every time we open up those phone lines, the phones just totally go nuts. And I've got this little graph. I'm going to show you this during the next break, Gustavo. We have a graph here that shows how many listeners we have. And I will show you what happened to the graph when you open the microphone over there.
Yeah.
As opposed to what happened before you opened the microphone. You can see the difference.
Beautiful. Because some that fucker, Brian K, saying, oh, the ratings are down already. And Tom Likas, again, this is the guy saying, I'm not going to listen. What has he been doing? He's been doing nothing but tweeting me for the last hour.
Well, that guy's a Met fan from Levittown, Long Island. And the Mets stink, and he's obviously very bitter about it, and so he betrays us.
Problem number one, you root for the Mets. Who in their right mind would root for the Mets?
Nobody. Nobody. But he loves to talk about how great New York is. And I'm like, well, if New York is so great, why do you live in Levittown? Somehow he got the idea that the boundaries of New York City were expanded to include the suburbs.
Yeah, you live in the quintessential American cookie-cutter bullshit suburb. I mean, Levittown was the first one.
Right.
And you're gonna speak with any authority on how awesome you are or how crappy anyone else is when you live in Levittown, New York? Lame.
That's where he's got. And by the way, he talks about New York like he lives in Manhattan or something.
Yeah, Levittown's the Aliso Viejo of suburbs. OC joke for the OCers out there, man.
Now, here we are. Gustavo Arellano is our guest. He came in with us last hour, and we just kept going. And this hour, we've been telling you that the last Wednesday of every month at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we're going to do a call-in version of Ask a Mexican. Now, Gustavo has done it with me. He's done it with my good friend and former talk show host Al Rantel at KABC. And Al hired me in Miami in 1984 at WNWS.
He hired you. Me.
Yeah.
Damn.
He hired me.
No, it's awesome to make this the official exclusive home of Ask a Mexican, because not only because we've had a friendship now for years, but it really is coming back home, because Al Rantel, he was the first person ever to say, hey, you know what? Let me call up this guy. Let's have him on the air. So I was on his show once a month for years until he had to retire. And so when I told him, like, hey, by the way, I'm going to be on Tom Likas, I didn't know you guys knew each other. He's like, oh, Tom, me and him, we go back way, way long time. Because, you know, like, I never burn people. And so I felt like, oh, well, maybe Al's going to be mad at me if I go on with Tom. And then he's like, no. Then,
oh, no. Chances are I told Al about your column.
Probably.
That's probably how that happened. And I brokered the deal that got Al his job at KABC. Because I've known Al for 29 years.
You guys were punking each other back in Miami.
But we were doing it on the same station.
No, of course,
Taking shots at each other. He was on from 9 to noon, and I was on from 8 to midnight. And by the way, it was not just the two of us. It was everybody on the station. But I've known Al all these years. Al's been here in the studio. Al was a guest one day. He came in, dropped in, and I opened the mic, and we went for it. But, of course, you may have heard Gustavo with Al Rantel. You may have heard it with Kevin and Bean. How long did you do Kevin and Bean on K-Rock?
I did Kevin and Bean for a couple of years, and they're good guys. They really are. Nothing but respect for those folks and the whole crew. But, you know, one day they got the directive from on high, hey, we want more music and less guests. Right. You're going to tell this to Kevin and fucking Bean, who are, like, some of the funniest guys around. And, you know, they were upset about it, and they told me, they're like, look, we love you, nothing against you at all, but this is what they're telling us. And I'm like, you know what, I don't take it personal, nothing but love for you guys. Like, I was on back in April to promote Taco USA. I'm more than happy to be on with them, right, just be a guest. But when it comes to Ask a Mexican, and really, since we did it last month, and it was just such a blast here.
Yeah.
You know, being, you know, doing Be Funny, just hanging out, talking to you, lots of tequila, and more importantly, no, unencumbered by any FCC regulations.
Right.
Why not?
And by the way, Bean is a supporter of ours, fan.
Yeah.
Tweets out our stuff frequently. We had Bean on the show to talk about his transplant.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, God. I mean, you want to talk about a damn saint. Bean is
it. Really?
Oh, I mean.
It's amazing.
Who gives their fucking kidney to a coworker of yours who, you know, isn't part of the crew, but just some, you know, the sound guy. You know, poor sound guy, always the butts of jokes. And good for him that it made national news. And, you know, Bean wasn't getting any money out of it. It was just like, wow, this is somebody who needs help. I have to match up with him. Here you go. Have my kidney. I mean, awesome guy. So, you know, nothing but love for Kevin and Bean. I also did Joe Escalante. Joe Escalante used to have a great show in the morning.
Indy?
And Indy 103.1. Now he's on K-Talk every Sunday evening. And, you know, Joe's a great guy. So I did the show, you know, in Southern California for a while. But really, the best part was always on Likas and Al. And with Al not being, you know, I know Al was in the studio recently, but with him not having a show, this is the natural home for it.
Absolutely. And, but by the way, our audience is just a perfect audience in every way, because we not only have a substantial audience of Mexicans and Mexican Americans who listen here, but we're now being heard around the world. We got a shout out from somebody in South America. Didn't say what country, which, by the way, very common in Central America, South America. They'll just say, oh, I'm in South America. They think you don't know where Colombia is, or you don't know where Nicaragua is, so you didn't. Well, I'm from Central America. And we got these guys giving shout-outs from around the world. It's unbelievable where they are.
Awesome. I mean, what Likas is worldwide phenomenon. And the best thing about this, because I blogged about it, the OC Weekly, you know, I put it up online, immediately just went crazy, people just reacting to it. And the, you know, besides all the congratulations, the second most common comment was, wait, Likas is back on? That's a great thing. This is the beginning of a beautiful relationship, as Humphrey Bogart told, who was it, Cloud Rains? Or,
yes.
Yeah, in Casablanca.
Exactly right. All right, we're going to take a break early here, because I see Suleiman on hold, and I want to get him up first. You haven't talked to Suleiman yet, have you?
He called in last time.
Did he call in last time?
We talked a little bit. Not too much, though. But Suleiman, bring it on.
Suley is first. We're going to put Suley up next. And your phone calls for Ask a Mexican, you can call right now at 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-TOM, 901-3000. 866.
It's just like radio, except the asshole who runs it is on the air. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the New Normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
There's a New Normal channel with Tom Likas. There's a New Normal channel for lizards. There's a New Normal channel with balls. There's a New Normal channel with 50,000 in a row. And then there's a New Normal channel that just screws with your head 24/7. That channel is Great Big Radio. Great Big Radio. Two generations of awesome power pop. Stuff you know very well, with stuff you forgot about, and stuff you never heard before but will blow you away. I said blow. So, enjoy 50,000 Lizards with Balls 101. And when you want to hear classic hits and the songs that should have been, go straight to
Great Big Radio.
24/7 at greatbigradio.com, the TuneIn app, and the Great Big Radio app for the iPhone.
You guys know I'm here to help you get laid, to help you with your money, keep you focused on achieving your dreams. Well, long-time listener, And now one of our newest advertisers, Skip LaCour, is the man who can help you get in shape, build some muscle, lose that body fat, get healthier, and have more energy. It's Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition, the highest quality and most effective sports nutrition and bodybuilding supplements on the market. In fact, Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition was nominated for New Brand of the Year in 2012 on bodybuilding.com, the world's number one online retailer of nutritional supplements in the world. The new year's here, and now is the time to finally take control. Go to this special website, tom.massmachinenutrition.com. And download free of charge an ebook and a 1-hour audio teaching that guides you through effectively and efficiently getting your body in shape. Skip is a 6-time national championship bodybuilder, but don't let that intimidate you. He's a listener, for God's sake, and he's one of the best coaches on the planet. He's been guiding and motivating regular guys just like you to get in shape for over 25 years. Go to tom.massmachinenutrition.com. Supreme, clean, Mass Machine Nutrition. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, 901-3000 Tom is our telephone number. And Ask the Mexican becomes a regular feature on our show, the call-in version of the super famous, super popular syndicated column, Ask the Mexican, with Gustavo Arellano sitting right here drinking tequila with me here in studio in Burbank.
Some amazing añejo from On Tequila. Folks, if you haven't bought On Tequila already, what the fuck's your problem? This is high quality and, more importantly, affordable shit. This isn't you're spending $150 on some tequila sponsored by some douchebag celebrity. This is the good damn deal. Come on, if you can't believe in a tequila that is not sponsored, but at least is vetted by both Tom and myself, if you can't believe us, then what the hell are you doing?
I agree. And I'm drinking. I'm still on the Blanco over here, and then I'm going to move. I'm going to move it up to the Añejo.
Añejo is my
sideways.
Favorite.
You know, again, Añejo tequila is Blanco tequila with barrel aging. That's what it is.
Yep.
And if I like the Blanco, the Añejo is only going to be that much better.
For the folks in OC, you could buy On Tequila at High Time Wine Cellar, very famous liquor emporium in Costa Mesa. When I heard that they had it, that actually confirmed more for me. Like, all right, On is super legitimate. It's not me just thinking this is a great tequila. It's super legitimate because High Time, they're very particular with the brands that they're going to have in their store. So you go to High Time, buy up the On Tequila. You will not. Especially for the Super Bowl weekend, you will not be deterred.
By the way, what do I love about High Times Liquor is that old school name, which now you could never name a liquor store High Times. You never could get away with it. Others, favorites I have, Liquor A Go-Go in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Good spot.
And there is a liquor store called Pink Elephant. Love that.
People nowadays only know Pink Elephants from Dumbo. That's it.
Yeah. I want to go to a liquor store and call it the 12 Steps. Just thought it'd be fun. All right, it's Ask a Mexican. 901-3000 Tom is our telephone number. Gustavo Arellano is our guest, sitting here in studio. And here he is. He needs no introduction, but he's going to get one anyway. It's Suleiman in Leesburg, Virginia. Suleiman!
Hola, ¿cómo estás, Tom? Hola, ¿cómo estás, Gustavo?
¿Qué tal, pinche Zuli? ¿Sabes el español, cabrón?
No, I'm not here to mess with you, Gustavo. What's going on with you, sir?
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. It's an honor to have you as the official first caller for this Ask a Mexican segment.
Hey, Tom, can I give a real quick shout-out, and I'll be real quick with Gustavo to a friend? A late birthday shout-out?
Yeah.
Jay Hernandez, happy birthday, man. Gustavo, I'm serious. How come in Mexico the luchador wrestlers wear a mask, but if you look at Eddie Guerrero's family and Alberto Del Rio, they don't wear it? But when I asked Rey Mysterio to take it off and wrestle, he said he likes the luchador wrestling.
Yeah.
He likes the beliefs and stuff.
For sure. No, it's a tradition in Mexican wrestling. Of course, lucha libre, that's Mexican wrestling. The legend has it that in the 1930s, the mask was used as some sort of gimmick in Mexico. If you really want to get academic, the mask has been part of Mexican society for thousands of years.
Octavio, I'm not trying to be like that. I'm just saying, but I mean, you look at Eddie Guerrero, you look at Alberto Del Rio, they don't do it.
I'm getting to that point, man. Don't worry about it. So I'm just giving the background. So that's why in Mexican wrestling, you know, the mask is part of lucha libre. It's that tradition. So when Eddie Guerrero, though, when it comes to some of these luchadores who are into WWE, they don't want to do it because in American society, we don't believe in masks. For us, masks, we associate that with the Ku Klux Klan or, like, where are you trying to hide? So somebody like Eddie Guerrero, when he was wrestling, may he rest in peace, he wanted people to know his face so he could get famous. Then you get somebody like Rey Mysterioso. That guy, he still upheld that tradition, and he's like, well, look, I come from this tradition, so I want to wear that mask. There's nothing wrong with you not wearing a mask or wearing a mask, but that's why Eddie didn't do it. He wanted to have a bigger prestige. And especially at that point, when he was wrestling, Lucha Libre was still really a cult classic. Nowadays, though, all Americans know what Lucha Libre is because of Nacho Libre, because, you know, people wear that at sporting events. It's part of American society right now, which is really fucking cool.
Oh, and the other thing, Gustavo, I was in Cancun in 2004, man. I want to go back to Mexico. Like I told everybody on the show, I'm down with Latinos and Hispanics. It's these pizza mayantes.
No. We're down with our black brothers, man. Don't worry about that.
No, but let me ask you something seriously. I looked at trying to go to Acapulco, and they're telling me do not have the violence. What is your honest opinion, or if I want to go to Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, Cabo San Lucas, or Acapulco?
No, the place to go right now, honestly, and we actually had a guy called in last time I was around. You want to go right now to Tijuana. Tijuana, Rosarito, Ensenada, because there are some places in Mexico. It's a little bit sketchy right now. Like Acapulco, you have a lot of, you know, murders, you know, outside of it. Cancun, you do have those things. But in Tijuana right now, it's experiencing a renaissance with food, with wine, with drink, and more importantly...
I have to fear the Tijuana cartel, the former AFO, Arellano Felix, and them? Because, I mean, I'm really, no offense, I'm not trying to say everybody's bad, but if you look at, well, no offense, what that stupid former president did,
Calderon?
Calderon.
Fuck him.
He was the biggest joke of them all, no offense.
No offense, man.
Huh?
Fuck Calderon. It's not no matter. No offense. No, honestly, Tijuana. If anyone wants to go travel in Mexico right now, the two best spots are Mexico City if you want an awesome urban experience, and also Tijuana, like all of Baja California. Cabo, you don't want to bother with Cabo. Cabo is too played out. It's too touristy. But in Tijuana, you get good deals, a lot of good stuff, and you'll be safe, man. I promise you, Sully, you don't have to worry about anything. Mazatlán? It's a beautiful spot. I don't know if you want to go there right now. You'd have to go with a Sinaloense, somebody from Sinaloa, but it's another beautiful spot. But honestly, you want to go down to Tijuana, Rosarito, Ensenada, that triangle right there, you're good, man.
We want you to come home when you're done.
Right. And the other thing, Gustavo, I'm being honest, man, you're Mexican-American. I think, no offense, anybody running Mexico are the drug cartels like Chapo Guzman, the Lozetas, and them. I mean, you look at Felipe Calderon, he started a war and stuff. I blame that schmuck for having 100,000 Mexicans killed, because in 2004, you didn't see the violence like this. But when that shit took office and went after people like Chapo Guzman and the Lozetas, now they're going after mayors, police, and police chiefs, and if they do not take the bribe, they get freaking killed on their way out or their whole family. And
yeah,
the thing I've been saying is the whole time is, no offense to anybody that is the president of Mexico, is a puppet. I think, and my honest belief is, people like Chapo Guzman and the Lozetas and the Gulf Cartel. cartel that's running that country. Because, I mean, you look at Chapo Guzman. He almost got caught by Hillary Clinton, and then, but he left Cabo so quick and stuff. And
2 days.
He has people in the Mexican government tipping him off. And I'm saying right now, we're the best thing we could do, because this country has a bad drug addiction, you're just better off legalizing it and let the drug cartels operate and telling them stop the violence here. Because I don't see us ever stopping the addiction, and I don't see them ever stopping, because that's a huge revenue for them.
Yeah, you legalize drugs here in the United States, the drug cartels in Mexico are over. Plain and simple. In Spanish, there's a saying, plata or plomo. Basically, you give me the silver or you get the lead bullet. And so I completely agree with you, man.
All right, thank you, Gustavo. Thank you.
Wait. Before I let you go. Wait. Sully, George wants to say something to you. George, what did you want to say to Suleiman?
Hey, Sully, I just wanted to tell you something. You know, Alberto Del Rio, when he first came to WWF, everybody was booing him. They tried to get him as a good guy, but nobody would like him. All the Mexicans would hate him.
Let me tell you why.
In Mexico, he was wrestling as Dos Caras with a mask. And when he came to the United States, he decided to take off his mask. That's why the Mexicans were booing him and nobody liked him. Just like
right, but he is one of the best guys. I think he's going to be number two going into the Hall of Fame. Rey Mysterio, he's like a god. Even
his uncle is in the Hall of Fame. His uncle is Mil Máscaras, another wrestler.
A legend.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, can you take me a Mexican $5 foot-long commercial, Subway style, please?
I certainly can. Here you go, Sully.
Cinco dólares.
Oh, man. The people can't get enough of that jingle.
No, and not only that, only on Tom Likens can you weave in a conversation about tourism, drug cartels, the drug war, and wrestling.
Right.
One.
And Subway.
And
901-3000 Tom, it's Ask a Mexican with Gustavo Arellano. Let's say hi to Steve in Anaheim. Steve, you're on the Tom Likens Show with Gustavo. Hello.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, Gustavo, man, let me explain the situation. I've always worked with Hispanics, whether they be El Salvadorians or Mexicans or Nicaraguans or whatnot. There seems to be this underlying prejudice between Hispanics and African Americans.
Sorry to interrupt, but we heard it right now with Sully calling black people mayates. Mayates are basically like this ugly ass fly. So go on.
Right.
Yeah, go on, man.
Right. So I hang out and smoke breaks at lunch or whatever, and they'll be talking about this, that, and the other thing about this mayata, or they'll flat out say that,
yeah,
you know, they'll flat out call them niggers and whatnot. But yet when you start talking football and basketball, primarily Raiders and Lakers, it's like they forget that majority of the players on these teams are black. And it's like they give them a pass. And, oh, Kobe's the shit. Kobe's the best. And I don't follow football. I can't even think of a player on the Raiders right now. But I know that there's a few people that are superstars from.
Well, there. By the way, there's a question right there. Speaking of Ask a Mexican, what the Raiders left L.A. 18 years ago.
Yeah,
Why do Mexicans root for the Raiders? They're gone and they're not coming back.
Yeah, so part one to answer my fellow Anna Crimer a question is, yeah, straight up, man, Anna Crime, man. Of course, you're always going to have that. And it's not just, though, with Mexicans. Let me make that point. Like, you'll see this. Like, oh, well, you're not that type of Mexican. You know, you'll have people talking about illegal immigrant this, you know, Mexicans that. And then sometimes I'll tell people, because I don't exactly look like the most, quote-unquote, Mexican around. They're like, oh, no, we're not talking about your kind of Mexican. We're talking about other kinds of Mexicans. So for your coworkers to be talking about mayates this and that and then liking Kobe, yeah, it's hypocritical. But for them, it makes complete sense. It's just I would say, again, going back to what I was saying earlier, it's a class thing. Now, to the Raiders, That's an easy answer. It's the same reason why there's so many Mexicans who love the Dodgers, so many Mexicans who love the Lakers, because the big sort of coming of age period for Mexicans in Southern California came during the 1980s. Like, that's why you have so many Mexicans who love Morrissey and the Smiths and all this new wave music. I mean, especially with Morrissey, it's a fucking cult going on there. But
right, and you know what, Gustavo, yeah. You touched on something that I also wanted to ask you, is why is rockabilly so popular with the Mexican community? And I'm not just talking about the music. I'm talking about the look.
The greaser look, yeah.
As far as getting the cars and the motorcycles. And it's the subculture of white Americana that has been taken over by Hispanics.
It's an awesome thing, man.
It's like, amazing to me.
I'll admit, like, I try to have some rockabilly tendencies in me. Like, you know, try to get my hair up, like a good pompadour or whatever. And fortunately, I'm losing it slowly but surely. But, you know, before that, let me get back to the Lakers and Raiders thing. So, 1980s, you have all these people growing up. Of course, if you're trying to assimilate into this country, you're going to root for what everyone else is rooting for. What was happening in the 1980s? Lakers were winning championships, Dodgers were winning championships, and they had Fernando Valenzuela, and the Raiders were winning championships. So yeah, long ago, the Raiders used to be a good team. And on top of that, a lot of Mexicans give respect to the Raiders because the Raiders were the first team to hire a Mexican-American football coach, and Tom Flores, who was also the first Mexican-American quarterback for the Raiders, and they also had Jim Plunkett. Don't believe that name. Jim Plunkett is half Mexican, proud of that part, so a lot of Mexicans will always respect him, even if they're up in Oakland. Now, to the rockabilly bit, you know, going back to 1980s, one of the big stations that a lot of Mexicans still love is KRLA. You remember KRLA 1110?
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh, dude. Fuck you, man. Art LeBeau and Huggy Boy?
Hey, I knew Huggy Boy.
Oh, Huggy Boy.
And his wife, caller number 9.
I'm just not a fan of oldies music as it is. And for the record, since you brought up radio,
yeah.
This whole thing about KLOS going country,
yeah.
Why am I not surprised? How many times do we have to hear Led Zeppelin again? Of course people are getting tired of it. But, yeah.
Going back to that whole oldies thing, so KRLA and all that, even though they played more soul oldies, you know, Bretton Wood and, you know, the Dramatics and all that stuff, a lot of Mexicans, we've always appreciated the old days, you know, the old stuff. So it's not just in English music. You have ranchera music. We like Pedro Infante, José Alfredo Jiménez. So big subculture of it got to the rockabilly phase, you know, liking your old school Elvis, your Gene Vincent, and then the Lux and the Bombas, the old 57s and all that. So it's just a matter of emulating a lifestyle that wasn't Mexican at the time. Although I have to say, if you ever see the quintessential greaser film American Graffiti, they had a Mexican gang in it. The guys who kidnapped Richard Dreyfuss.
Well, don't forget Richie Valens too.
Richie Valens, exactly. Of course, fucking the San Fernando Pacoima. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that explains the rockabilly bit.
Yeah, but see, it also touches on this again, a similar subject with the Hispanics, the rivalry between Hispanics and blacks. Going back to music. Or bringing music into the equation as similar to football and basketball.
Yeah.
Rap music, primarily a black culture, started and popularized current rap, gangster rap, hip-hop rap, whatever you want to call it. Not a whole lot of Hispanics. There are more now. I know that now.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, when it was gaining popularity, it was the same thing. It was Hispanic friends saying, oh, you know, White Zeppelin and White Rush and this, that, and the other thing. But yet they're idolizing black rap artists, but at the same time, they're talking shit about their black coworkers. And again, I can only call it selective prejudice, if that makes any sense.
No. You may completely.
They like what they like. And what they don't like, they blame it on the nationality of a person. But if they like something, they forget what the nationality of that person is.
Well, hell, man.
Give it a pass.
Yeah, I mean, you get these gangbangers, you know, these cholos bumping Tupac while trying to, you know, drive out African Americans. Like, there was that story of that gang that's trying to drive out African Americans from fucking Compton. I bet you they're blasting Tupac. And what the fuck did Tupac sing? You know, would it be LA without Mexicans, black pride, you know, brown pride, black love, and the sets again? Trust me, a lot of us Mexicans, we hear that, and, you know, we hear these stories of trying to push out African Americans. We cringe at that. I'm not making any excuses for it. I agree with you. It's fucking stupidity. It's absolute stupidity, but it happens. What can one do, you know?
And just for the record, I'm white, And I'm not racist. I hate everybody.
Well, at least you're not selective. You just lay it out there for everybody.
I'm an equal opportunity discriminator. That's my thing.
Nothing but respect, man.
Hey, well, Gustavo, thank you so much, man. And I've got so many other questions, but I maybe you can answer this one really quick. What's with the long pinky nail?
The long pinky nail is to play a guitar.
But I know so many guys at work that don't play guitar or an instrument, and they have it. What's going on?
You call in next month, man. We'll do it then.
Okay. Yeah, dude, I will definitely be calling. Tom, thank you so much for coming back. I love you.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, Steve.
Take me out with a grito.
All right. Here it comes. You ready?
Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you. Oh, you don't know what that is. Mexican, yeah, you call it Mexican style art.
Yeah! Art, come on, man. You don't know what a fucking grito is right now? I bet you can't even pronounce Jorge at this point.
Jorge! Gustavo, what the fuck?
We're like total Thule gringos in here, like looking at each other, like, what do you say?
Arthur Webb, dude. You don't hear any Latin in there at all, man.
Arturo, Arturito Way.
Arturo Fuente! ¿Cómo está, cabeza?
Arturo Mota. That's what we're going to call
Arturo
you.
Arturo Tuscanini.
901-3000. Tom is our telephone number on the Tom Likas Show. It's Ask a Mexican with Gustavo Arellano. Let us say hello here to J.D. Is that J.D. in Norwalk? J.D.? Is that you?
Tom, how you guys doing?
Doing okay.
What's up, man?
Hey, Gustavo, how come Mexico is pronounced Mexico in Spanish and like Tejas, Texas?
So Mexico, that comes from, so the original people of Mexico, when the Spaniards came in, they conquered what we now call the Aztecs. They called them the Mexica. They called themselves Mexica. So originally the country was supposed to be pronounced Mexico, you know, Mexica, Mexico. But the problem with the Spaniards, they couldn't pronounce that sh sound, the sh sound. So what they did instead, they put an X back in the days, it was something that meant, oh, I can't pronounce it. So when you couldn't pronounce something for the, you know, for the Spaniards, they would do it with an H. So Mexico, Mexico. So as a result, that's how we got to Mexico, and that's why we have that X in the stead. Although traditionally, like an X, you see an X, you're like, in Spanish, an X is still pronounced with a sh, like the Xoloitzcuintle. That's the, you know, that's the Mexican hairless dog that Frida Kahlo used to have. So in that sense, the Spaniards were the ones who fucked it up for everyone else. But that's why we pronounce it Mexico instead of Mexico.
And how did that go into America, like for Texas?
Oh, okay, yeah, with the Texas, yeah, because of course Texas was Texas originally, but the Americans, fuck, come on, Americans can't, if they can't pronounce Jorge, what do you really think they're going to be pronounced Mexico or Mexico? So they see that X in English, the X is a X sound, obviously, so for them it was Mexico, Mexico. They would never get Mexico or Mexico or any of that stuff. That's how it got around to that.
Good deal, Gustavo. Thanks, Tom.
Bye. See
you guys there.
Thank you, JD.
Appreciate it, man.
901-3000, Tom. That's our telephone number. Let's say hello here to, look at all these guys. David in Los Angeles. It's Ask a Mexican with our friend Gustavo Arellano. Hello.
Yay. Quick question. How safe is Mexico, like, to go on that side, you know, for all the playing around with the, you know, the bars and hookers and all that? And where do you stop? Like, where's the point of no return, or you don't want to go there because you ain't going to return?
Well, you stop when the girl that you're with turns out to be a guy. I would say that.
No, I'm just saying, like, how deep in Mexico do you go? Like, do you stop at, I don't know which one's first, Rosarito or Ensenada?
Yeah. No, honestly, it all depends on where you're at. So I would say, again, if you want to party it up like fucking crazy right now in Mexico, you go down to Tijuana, you go down to Rosarito and Ensenada. Most of those places are fine, especially if you're white. If you're a white person, you're like a fucking god right now. If you're a Mexican, I would still say, like, and just be careful. You just want to exercise caution. You don't want to go into a place where you think, oh, shit, you know that there's going to be trouble there. So it's all a matter of judging it by where you're at.
I believe that if you're white or you're white-looking, that you're the target.
No. Quite the opposite.
That's like they want to kidnap you and they know you have money.
Hell no, man. The cartels, oh dude, I I have friends on the border who are reporters. I have friends who live there. If you're a white person in Mexico, you're much safer than a Mexican. I'll give you this example. Like, I have a friend of mine, you know, shout out to Dave Lieberman. He's one of my writers right now for the OC Weekly. Every week, we do a column called Tijuana C. And he goes down there. He's going down there 2-3 times a month, going to Tijuana, and everyone's telling him, you got to bring more people like yourself, more white people like yourself, to come and spend money in Tijuana. White people, they're taken care of, they're safe, because even the cartels know, you don't mess with a white person, unless, of course, they're in the drug business, but you don't mess with a regular American tourist. Because imagine that, if you had the headline, white tourist dead in Mexico beheaded, you really think the Obama administration is going to sit on that? Hell no. They're going to come down and say, all right, cartels, the fun times are over, we're going to get serious, we're going to just level you guys. That's going to happen. On the other hand, though, if you're a Mexican, it's still dangerous because you're still a Mexican in Mexico. I have friends who go down to Mexico. Like, you'll still be safe, but you don't want to come off as having, going back to the previous conversation, oh, yeah, I have a lot of money, because then people will target you. But if you come off coming like a humble person, you know, dressed in working clothes, then people say, oh, you're just like any other person down here in Tijuana, so you'll be safe. So when it comes down to your question about where to party or when's too much, just judge everything by what you see in front of you. More importantly, go to ocweekly.com. Go check out our column, Tijuana C. There we're, you know, reviewing the best bars in Tijuana you want to go.
Oh, nice.
Go to ocweekly.com. We have a food blog called Stick a Fork in It. And you want to look up our – actually, go on tomorrow. So go on tomorrow, I'd say, like – in the evening, there's a column called Tijuana C, and every week we're reviewing places where you should go down in Baja California. So if you're a bar person, the best bar in Tijuana, it's called El Dandy del Sur, so the Dandy from the South. It's this legendary bar, great drinks, great girls, completely safe. You'll be taken care of, man.
Well, what do you think about taking your car down there from California plates, you know, going?
Dude, I've bought 3 VW buses. I'm a big bus fan. Buy them all beat up, take them down to Tijuana, have them completely refurbished. A job that'll cost me at least $20,000 up here, I could get down to Tijuana for $3,000.
Oh,
and clean. No Mickey Mouse job, man. I got a 68 VW bus right now. Fucking immaculate. Leather interior, refurbished sink, you know, the whole pop top. It's a combi. Absolutely beautiful. They do an excellent job down there. $3,000 versus $15,000 up here. What would you choose?
Hey, leave Tom that guy's name, and then I'll call him in. I'll call Dino for that name.
For sure, man. For sure. I'm going to have to talk to my dad. So call in next month. We'll do that for sure, though.
And we will have Ask a Mexican again the last Wednesday in February, which is just barely 4 weeks away. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. 901-3000. Tom is our telephone number. 901-3000-866. Gustavo Arellano is our guest. His column is Ask a Mexican. His book is Taco USA. He also has a book, Ask a Mexican. But he is now with us every last Wednesday of the month. And you can call right now with your questions on Ask a Mexican.
The world is listening. The world needs to hear from you. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
You know, I've been preaching Likas 101 for years now, but some of you have fallen off the wagon or thought you knew more than the professor, and now you're facing off against a cold-hearted bitch who wants to take you for everything you've got, and on top of that, screw up your relationship with your kids. You know you need a lawyer. Don't be a fool. Call Adam Sachs now. 800-340-7320. Stand up for yourself. Don't be a pussy and let her walk away with the whole store. Fight back and use an experienced attorney that you can trust and has long supported our show and his teachings. As an attorney in court nearly every day, Adam knows that people like you are struggling with this tough economy. Even if you're dealing with financial issues, he'll take your case. And he promises to work out an affordable monthly payment plan. No matter what your financial circumstances are, you can afford Adam Sachs as your lawyer. 800-340-7320. In his 20 years of standing up for guys in the hostile area of family law, he's gotten countless men full custody of their children, protected men from outrageous and unfair child support and vagina money payments, and best of all, He never gives up, never runs from a fight. He'll even give you his cell phone number so he can always be reached. Call this number, 800-340-7320. Adam Sachs, it's time to man up. 800-340-7320.
Do you have tiny balls? You know, you once had big balls, but things started changing around you. First television, then your favorite radio station. It all became so vaginized that slowly but surely, your balls just started to wither away. Well, don't worry. You're not alone. Up to 98% of men suffer from tiny ball syndrome. That's right, TBS. But now, there's hope. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend New Normal Rock. New Normal Rock, just by removing ballads, broads, and bullshit from your hard rock diet, will help you grow your balls back and get you back to that big, bald lifestyle you deserve. New Normal Rock. Newer, faster, harder rock for big, healthy balls. Ask your doctor. New
Normal Rock. Hey, you ever take a great picture and think to yourself, that'd make a great t-shirt. But you don't know the first thing about making it happen. Well, now you do. Just visit CustomPicturePrinting.com. Images, logos, original slogans. These guys can put it on a tee. But it doesn't stop there. Sweatshirts, drink coasters, you name it. They get it done. Our friends at CustomPicturePrinting.com make it easy to submit and customize any order, and they use quality materials and long-lasting ink on items available from small to 4XL. CustomPicturePrinting.com. No minimum order. You can order just 1 or 100. Hey, they're followers of the Tom Likas Show. Check them out today. CustomPicturePrinting.com. Tom Likas Show. What kind of day is this? We have Gustavo Arellano, we have Ask a Mexican, and then coming up, Be Funny. This is a home run every which way. 901-3000. Tom is our telephone number. You heard our news for guys. Ron Jeremy, heart attack, critical condition. Gary, Deed, and I all saw Ron Jeremy at the Palm Restaurant. When was that, 2 weeks ago? I mean, we were having a little chit-chat.
Ron, man, the hedgehog.
Yeah.
Much love to him, much respect. May he recuperate very fast.
Yeah. I mean, there he was. Of course, we were all eating at the Palm, so who knows who's next for the ICU.
Tom, you know what's funny is I actually saw Ron Jeremy that same night you guys did.
You did?
Yeah, the exact same night. I was at the Roxy for that Rumors thing, the Taylor Locke thing. And
they had been there, and then they came to the Palm?
Yeah, they were at the Rainbow Bar and Grill. We saw Ron Jeremy hanging out out front, and then Gary came in here the next day and was like, we saw Ron Jeremy last night. He gave me his business card. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. We were sitting at table one at the Palm, where I used to sit with Sam Kennison.
Oh,
table
man.
One.
The Thai restaurant, right? With
the Palm?
The Palm. Oh, no, I'm thinking of
no,
Palms.
The steak, no, the steakhouse.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a great spot.
The Palm.
Yeah.
I was at table one. It still has a cartoon of Sam Kennison right there, and I used to sit there with Sam 20 years ago, 22 years ago, whatever, and we used to hang out. And there we are sitting there, and sure enough, another old friend of Sam Kennison, Ron Jeremy, he's having dinner in, like, table four, 2 tables away, 3 tables away. And on the way out, he stopped by, and we kind of do a little, little chit-chat, little stop and chat.
It's amazing with Sam. You know, he died, what, 25 years ago, and we're still talking about him.
Yeah, no doubt.
God bless his cocaine-filled heart.
I knew Sam well. Sam's brother, Bill Kennison, is still out there listening somewhere, and... by the way, Bill does the best impression of Sam Kennison you ever wanted to hear. In fact, Bill used to, when Sam was too fucked up, in radio we have these things where you come into a studio and you do like 20, bang, 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 you do 20 morning show interviews in a row. They're all set up on the satellite. And, sometimes Sam would be coming in from being out all night. And he'd put his hand down on the table, and he'd be asleep. And Bill, his brother and manager, used to have to fill in for him. And because nobody could see them, they thought they were talking to Sam.
Yeah.
And they were really talking to Bill. And Bill, to this day, if you love Sam Kennison, and you ever meet Bill Kennison, ask him to do his impression of his brother Sam.
Oh, man.
Because it's letter perfect, and, you know, you might as well still be alive. It's just amazing. You're talking to Sam Kinison. It's crazy.
God bless that guy.
Yeah. Now, all these guys. More than one night, I was out with Sam and with Ron Jeremy and with Bill. Out and about.
Ron, I actually once covered a story with Ron. He was the, what was he? He was a judge at a Miss Nude California over at Deja Vu in Westminster. It's now the Hustler Club.
Yeah.
But I hung out with him. I interviewed him. He invited me to go to a threesome with him. I had to decline because I am the man that I am. But awesome class act guy. That story, it's still to this day one of my favorite stories because somebody described Ron as the Danny Ainge of porn.
The Danny Ainge of porn.
Who the fuck would ever compare
Danny
Ron?
Danny Ainge is a Mormon.
But it makes sense. Ron Jeremy is the Danny Ainge of porn. Get better, Ron.
Yeah, please. We just took business cards from Ron. We were going to have him on.
Oh, he'll be back.
Oh,
he'll be on.
Well, that's my hope. Unbelievable. Amazing. 901-3000 Tom. Gustavo Arellano is here in studio with us. Ask a Mexican. We're going to do it the last Wednesday of every month at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And here we go. Let us say hello here to Alan in Fontana on the Tom Likas show. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, Gustavo? How's it going, Tom?
It's going great.
What's up, man?
Awesome. Gustavo, I got this question, man, because I get this comment all the time growing up, and not so much anymore, but definitely, you know, when I was younger. Like, I'm a son of a Mexican immigrant and first generation, and then our family, and I noticed, like, other Hispanics and Latinos, they criticize me for not speaking Spanish as well as they'd expect me or whatever. I don't know what it is, where I feel that I understand Spanish and speak it better than they speak English and understand English.
Yeah, no, for sure. We actually talked about it in the previous hour, but there's always, especially when it comes to immigrant families, there's always going to be that part that says, oh, you don't speak your original, like, the mother language of your culture, so therefore you're somehow less of a Mexican than that. And I'll tell you this much, like, I've always, in my family, I love all my family, but people have always said, oh, you don't speak Spanish good enough. That means you're not a real Mexican, blah, blah, blah. When I was younger, it used to bother me because I'm like, I can't help it. We're here in the United States. English still is, like, the main language that unites all of us. But I'm at this point in my life, and I you should also follow this. Like, who cares how much Spanish you talk, honestly? Because some people speak fluent Spanish, both English and Spanish. Some people only speak Spanish. Like, my parents, they live Spanish 95% of their lives. Does that somehow make them less American? No, not at all. Some people, they might consider themselves 100% Mexican, and they don't speak Spanish at all. They only speak English. That's perfectly fine. So, you know, when people hate on you like that, my response to them would say, like, all right, what else makes me somehow less of a Mexican? Like, really, make out a list. Like, do I drive a car that a Mexican's supposed to drive? No. I eat the food that Mexicans eat? No. Like, it's so preposterous to hate people for not speaking enough Spanish that somehow doesn't make them more Mexican.
Yeah, see, the thing that gets me, that bothers me the most is, like, okay, when someone who, like some Latino that goes on Tom Likas show and they don't know how to, I've heard them before where, you know, they're talking to Tom, they don't know English that well, but Tom has, like, so much patience, and it's not just Tom, it's, like, it's other white guys, other white, you know, white people.
By the way, it's not just patience. I know so many Latinos, and I understand Spanish. And so when someone calls up and they are struggling to tell me something in English, I know what they're saying. I know what they're trying to say. I try to help them to finish their thought because I know what they're trying to tell me.
Yeah, but the difference is with white guys, like, when they're speaking to a Latino or something, like, they seem to have more patience, more understanding, you know, they'll...
Come down to Irvine,
like,
man.
They treat with respect. But me, you know, when I'm talking to somebody in like, a Latino or Hispanic, trying to speak to them in Spanish, you know, they just brush me off, like, you know, you're just a, what did you say, pocho?
Pocho, yeah, pocho. Yeah, you know, that's always going to happen. You know, again, It depends on people. Sometimes they're going to be more sympathetic to you. Sometimes they're going to be jerks and say, like, oh, what, you think you're all bad just because you speak English and you don't do good Spanish? Like, screw them. Honestly, screw them. And honestly, give them that challenge. Tell them, like, all right, who made you the arbiter of all things Mexican? Where is this magical checklist that's been followed from everyone from Miguel Hidalgo to fucking, what's his name? Oh my God, the fucking Mexican soccer player right now, Little P. Chicharito, yeah. It's the on tequila talking at this point, folks. But yeah, like, who gave you that list that makes somebody a certain Mexican or two other Mexicans? So, and if you consider yourself Mexican and you don't speak that good Spanish, that's perfectly fine. And if anyone's going to hate on you, then fuck them. Plain and all.
Yeah. All right.
Did you ever say fuck them on Kevin and Bean? I'm just curious.
No. I'm sure they would have appreciated it, but it would have gotten them in trouble, so no.
Yeah.
So no. God bless you, man. Do your thing, boy.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call, Alan. Appreciate it. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. It's Ask a Mexican with Gustavo Arellano. Let us say hello here to, look at this, Jason in North Arlington, New Jersey. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Gustavo. Hello.
Hello. Hi, guys. Quick question. Gustavo,
yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with a CNN report that stated that their Mexican gangs were basically beating up blacks and kicking at to get them out of the neighborhood. How do you feel about that?
No. We actually talked about it earlier in the show, so it's all good if you haven't tuned in. But again, you got to tune in all the time. No, it's horrible. Are you kidding me? This is the saddest part for me, though, because I posted a story that the LA Times did. A good friend of mine at the LA Times, Sam Quinones, an amazing reporter, he's the one who broke this story. And I posted it, and I said, like, this is horrible. We, as Mexicans, can't stand by other Mexicans, especially gangs, trying to drive out African-Americans. And then you had other Mexicans saying, well, blacks used to do it to us, so why can't we do it to them? Or other people are saying, like, well, we got to stand by Mexicans first. And that's absolute bullshit. You never stand with the oppressor. You always stand with the oppressed. So in this case, okay, in the past, yes, black gangs were trying to drive out Mexicans from, Mexican neighborhoods. That's horrible as well. But what? Just because that happened somehow, we're supposed to be against black folks? That's absolutely horrible. And the good thing, though, is that more and more Mexicans, like, we're standing up and saying, like, you don't do this shit, man. We stand with good people. We'll be against bad people, but we're going to stand with good people. So it sucks, man. But it happens. What can I tell you?
All right, Jason, thank you for that. Oh, we've run out of time for Ask a Mexican. Look how fast this was. It's crazy.
Absolute success. Really quickly, I want to give a shout out to my good friend Pedro Salcido out in Cleveland, a doctor from Anaheim originally. He's doing his residency out there. Huge fan of the father. Absolutely.
Love that.
Thanks for all the calls for today, all the tweets. We're going to do this again last Wednesday of every month, 4 p.m., but, PST, but I'm going to be here all day, so I'll be here with, be funny. And somebody on Twitter told me, like, because you announced you're going to get married, everyone's going to fuck with you and be funny. So bring it. I could stand any fucking insults, man.
So Gustavo will hang out with us for Be Funny. And then Ask a Mexican will be coming up on Wednesday, February 27th, last Wednesday of February, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And Be Funny is coming up next.
The world is listening. The world needs to hear from you. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it is time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno. We are brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine. New study shows that women are more likely to have sex with their husbands if their husbands do the man's work around the house.
All right, so if they want us to do the men's work around the house, they got to start acting like broads. Respect. You know what? All right, then.
Don't you be ironing and shit, because the broads are not turned on by that.
No, they're not.
No, I mean, so, they might have you under their thumb, but they ain't turned on.
Right.
Fuck that, motherfucker.
Here's the motto to live by.
Jayden.
Throw out the trash and get some gash. That's how it works around
here. Really? Trash equals gash.
Yes, 100%.
That's fantastic. I like that one. Write that down. New survey by Hotwire.com shows that men are more likely to book romantic trips than women. I find this to be skewed because I think men have to book the trips.
They got to pay for it.
Right.
Not only that, but it's the wife who determines where they go, and it's the guy that has to get the actual credit card out. Therefore, when you're logging on to Hotels.com or Hotwire or whatever it happens to be, I get it. It's like, of course, it's going to be a guy's name and the gender of the person with the credit card, but the math is simple. Money plus vacation equals the woman's choice.
Yeah, I want to see the data behind this. I'm convinced that a lot of guys book these trips because they think they have to, or it's like a kick save to try to, you know, revive their relationship. And it's always a disaster once you get to where you're going. If your relationship sucks, a super fucking hot beach isn't necessarily going to do you any good.
Not at all.
You just might as well enjoy yourself and, send some dick pics to somebody back in the States.
Brett Favre yourself. Get after it.
Rolling Stone has put together a list of the 50 funniest people right now. 50 funniest people. 12 of them are women, and everybody's got panties in a bunch over this shit. I'm surprised they could come up with 12.
I am also, but I will say this. If Dane Cook made that list, then I would prefer a woman on that list than Dane Cook.
Question.
So I'd like
know.
To trade for every Dane Cook, I'd like to raise you Lisa Lampanelli. That's it.
That's true.
I'd like to take Dane. Name
another funny bro besides Lisa Lampanelli. Go. That's what I thought.
Crickets.
CSI New York star Carmine Giovinazzo.
Holy shit, is he one of mine, right?
No shit.
This is unbelievable. Here's a little thing and a note regarding CSI New York star Carmine Giovinazzo. Yeah. Here's the situation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to party in Scottsdale, Arizona, just like our friend Jason London just did over the weekend, it's important not to drive drunk because Scottsdale cops have nothing else to do but to pull your ass over. Oh. Ask anybody from Stephon Marbury to any one of the Phoenix Suns who's run into an issue. Trust me, they just sit there and wait. This guy is no different. Way to go, Carmine, you dummy. No matter how nice you are to these cops, you're getting a DUI.
I thought that you were going to say, whatever you do, don't be driving around in a white Jeep Wrangler.
Oh, is that what he was driving? Yes.
I thought you'd get arrested for that, or you should be, anyway.
Oh, automatic. I didn't realize he was driving a white Jeep Wrangler.
The boy apparently stank of booze.
Then he deserved
eyes were bloodshot. He was slurring his speech. He was telling the cops that he was having trouble with the GPS. That's why he was all over the road.
Right, right. Well, he was, leaving the W Hotel, which has a great bar. It's a great location in Scottsdale. However, it is a problem because there's only one way out, major road out, and that's where you're going to run into problems.
Well, big shout-out to your boy, though. He blew a .149. That's very respectable. Very respectable indeed.
Exactly. He repeatedly apologized not for driving a white Jeep, but he repeatedly apologized to the officers and said, he didn't want to be an asshole. Way to go, Carmine.
Mm-hmm. Rihanna now saying that Chris Brown will never hurt her again, and if she sees any of his old behavior coming out, that she knows when to leave now. That's before her face meets with his fist.
His fist. Rihanna is an idiot, in my opinion, a complete fool. And her quote is, "He doesn't have the luxury of fucking up again. That's why she's back with him." Rihanna, maybe you need to review the pictures of your bloody face to really get what Chris Brown is all about. And you can add to that list the latest Billy Ocean over there, who also just got into a small argument with him. The guy, thank you. Right. And again, the guy is clearly no good. He's a bum.
I want to hang with this Tamara Ecclestone. This is a super rich broad. Her dad is like an F1 dude or something, a billionaire. She ran up a $45,000 bar tab in London just yesterday.
Yes, and that is this is the kind of partying you want. You
it's all
want
bottle
a
service,
hot
by
girl
the way. Yeah.
That's an heiress, and she's worth $500 million.
Yeah.
Herself. Congratulations.
I mean, imagine me. With a bar tab like that.
Where money is no object.
You mean I can order anything?
Gary, I really think you need to calm down.
As many as I want?
You've got to calm down with the trip.
Can I bring my friend Sully with me?
Please calm down, man. I'm worried about you. I'm worried.
Don't say that about Suleiman.
Finally, a vid alert for you. Check out Rosie Jones, one of our favorites, and Holly Pierce in a video on the Front Magazine website, one of my favorite magazines of all time. It's frontarmy.com. I don't know if we can post this because it's nothing but nudity. Have you noticed the jerseys these two are wearing?
Yes.
One of them is a Lakers jersey. Yeah. You know what the other one is? It's a sweatshirt. You know what it is?
I can't tell.
Oswego State.
Holy shit.
Where I went for like a year and a half. At upstate, for some reason, upstate New York. State University, some British chicks got it on.
Yeah, and by the way, now Front Magazine happens to be a favorite of mine.
Oh, no doubt. It's fantastic. Wow. Rosie Jones, you just can't beat her. There you have it. Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
What's the mascot for Oswego State?
I don't know. A beaver or something?
Just checking.
That's the way I remember it anyway. But then, you know, I was doing acid back then.
Good for you.
Be sure to check out our podcast at GaryandDino.com. Brand new show every Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We are back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
We've all done it. You drop your iPhone, the screen cracks. Someone spills coffee on your keyboard. You download a virus. I hate when that happens. Well, if you're in Los Angeles and that happens, you're in luck because PC Mac Tech offers same-day service for your PC, your Mac, your iPad, or your iPhone. Los Angeles-based PC Mac Tech is staffed by certified PC and Apple repair technicians. PC Mac Tech, from liquid damage, cracked screens, and emergency computer repair, this has happened to all of us, right? Now, give them a call. This is the number, 818-207-8300. That's 818-207-8300. Or find them online. It's PCMacTech.net. That's PCMacTech.net.